I'm big on cardio, so it's literally if you have to go out and you're running after somebody, and it doesn't matter if you're out of breath, and then you guys are face to face, and you're out of breath, and you can't do much, it's not going to end well. And some people like you pay money to run, and I guess it does sound silly, but yeah, because you have to pay for different things, close down streets.
Good morning, good evening, everyone. Whenever you are listening to this, the Run the Race podcast, episode 199. Hopefully, I'm going to have something very special for you for episode 200. I'm Jason Dennis, local TV news anchor here in the Georgia, Alabama area and podcast host for the last 4+ years as we talk about fitness and faith on a regular basis here. And I got a great guest for us today. He is a police officer who is about to run with a team across the state of Georgia. That's right. So looking forward to hearing from him. I really appreciate what our law enforcement, our police, our firefighters, public safety, our soldiers, what they do for us every single day to keep us safe. We pray for them as well. And if you missed the last episode of our podcast, it is with a friend of mine, Stephen Payne, who's actually a golf coach up in Augusta, Georgia, just right next to the Masters. And Scotty Scheffler just won that event last Sunday as you listen to this episode. And we're going to later on at the end of this episode, I'm going to talk a little briefly about Scheffler and his faith and how outspoken he is about Jesus, even after winning millions of dollars at this golf tournament. So looking forward to letting you hear some of that. And also, after my conversation with our guest, a police officer and runner, I want to get you going to take a trip back in time a little bit with two of our previous guests, Sasha Hathaway and Kevin Sheed, who both did the solo run across Georgia. Pretty amazing feat, 277 miles. Doing that within about 5 days or so. It's a lot of miles, you know, 60 miles per day, a lot of time on your feet and the heat in the hills of Georgia. So gonna take us back and listen to a little bit of those conversations as Run Across Georgia is going to be happening Memorial Day weekend. So a little more than a month away. And to talk more about that and about all kinds of other things, fitness and faith related, is Columbus police officer Dan Lyon.
As a sergeant with CPD, he's been on the force now for more than 2 decades, 21 years. Grew up in Pennsylvania, then to Arizona, where he graduated high school in 1996. Played football, basketball, baseball, and then with that fitness, joined the Army in 1997, where he served for 4 years and got his 2-year degree there. Then joined the Columbus Force as a police officer in 2003. Wasn't doing a lot of exercising perhaps back then, but did his first half marathon in 2009, first full marathon a year later, and then about 7 years ago started doing CrossFit. We're going to talk to him some about that. Him and his family are members of Christ the King Church in Pine Mountain. His daughter, who's 23 years old, also was part of his Run Across Georgia team 6 years ago, and she is a nurse at a local hospital here. They enjoyed doing hiking as well as a family, and so we're going to talk to him about kind of that legacy of fitness and doing that with your family. Going to talk about CrossFit and why they're doing Run Across Georgia. So Dan Lyon, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and so this is your day off from police.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
I appreciate at you coming in. Well, first of all, we're going to talk about several different things, but first, you know, a lot of people may have this misconception about police officers. They may think, you know, I mean, a lot of you guys are fit, but there's this misconception out there that, oh, police officers sometimes are out of shape, or, oh, the jokes about donuts and coffee and that kind of thing. So, I mean, what would you like to say in terms of the fact that there's those misconceptions out there and that a lot of you guys are very fit to be able to do the job?
It can go either way, but yes, there are some that do care about their being physical and they try to fit it in with their different schedules. But honestly, with these schedules, it is hard to fit it in. And then if you're young and then you're starting a family, then really that really takes over too. So trying to get it busy. And so kind of later on in my life when I had more free time was when I was able to get back into working out or whatever. But yeah, there are some people that do eat donuts, but then there's other people that stay away from them and don't want any part of it.
And what is being fit and being in shape as a police officer, what kind of advantages does that give you in terms of your job, whether whatever rank you are, and maybe especially if you're a patrol officer?
I'm big on cardio. So it's literally, if you have to go out and you're running after somebody, and it doesn't matter if you're out of breath and then you guys are face to face and you're out of breath and you can't do much, it's not going to end well.
Yeah. And, you know, the dangers of the job. And also, it's something where, you know, you're able to, you know, like you said, it's catching your breath and being able to be fit to be able to do that job, because it may not be just running. It may be, you know, other things that you have to do on the job, right?
Yes. Yeah. You have to go hands on or anything like that. But just getting out and just being out there, I mean, it's not fun being out there directing traffic in the heat or whatever. So just got to worry about how you feel out there and know what you're doing.
And you get acclimated because, I mean, there's a lot of heat. We're about to hit the summer here in Georgia. And speaking of that, Memorial Day weekend, you and a group of seven other men, these are all male police officers, are going to be running across Georgia. This is 277 miles from Tybee Island back here to Columbus, and it's over the course of several days. I had a chance to be a part of that a couple years from, I think, 2017, 2018, captained a team, and there was 12 of us, and you split that up. Essentially, it's about 50 legs, give or take, and each leg is about 3 to 7 miles, and then once you do your leg running for like 30 minutes or an hour, you get a break for 6 hours, 10 hours, depending on your team. So tell me about why you guys, as a police force, put together a team like this before?
Yes. From my understanding, I know that they've done it the past 2 years. I did it in 2018, and then another group, they kind of took over, and they asked me before, and I was like, no, I'm good, because, I mean, it's tough. I don't like to run in the heat, and that's what you're going to be doing. You essentially live out of a van for 2.5 days, and so if you need to be out there, and, like, you don't really get enough sleep, and so you don't eat properly or whatever, but it's about the experience. It was really, really fun, the camaraderie with everybody, and, I mean, you see places in Georgia that you did not know existed, so...
Small towns.
Yes,
these are not streets that are blocked up by the police.
No.
I mean, you're running at 3 in the morning, you know, 3 in the afternoon, and you're on main roads.
Correct. Absolutely. Yeah. Everything's on a main road. There's no trails. There's no bike paths. It's all on main roads. Every once in a while, you go through a little city or whatever. When I say little city, I'm talking to probably a population of 5,000. But yeah, you are out there in the middle of the night. So you are required to wear a headlamp and a road guard vest with a blinking light on it.
Are you ever tempted, because you do that sometimes for your job, to stop traffic? And
there's not much traffic out there to stop, I promise you that.
So tell me about why you guys decided to do this. I mean, I know the police force has done it in the past, and you know, you've been on a team with CrossFit as well, running across Georgia. But what's the goal, or what do you want other people to get out of it in terms of seeing you guys do this?
It is for a good cause, for the House of Hero and Mercy Med. Mercy Med's local. But like I said, it's just something, I don't know if it's bragging rights, but it's just something fun to get together. And I actually kind of proved that police officers can do this, get out there. And I know one of the guys thought it would be funny to get a sponsorship from a donut shop. So
there you go. That'd be great. And are there any kind of strategies or logistics going into it in terms of, okay, we need to have, you know, faster runners, slower runners here or there, or, like, you know, who wants to run at night or in the heat or whatever?
I think it's all kind of even. Like I said, when I did do it before, I know towards the end, coming through Buena Vista, there's a lot of hills, and that part's during the day. So that was a very, very tough part towards the end, because, I mean, some people, their legs start cramping up or dehydrated, and so it's, but I mean, everybody's going to do their part. Pretty much everybody runs the same amount. It's equal to running at night versus during the day. But like I said, everybody, I think, has their own strategy, and some of these people I don't know very well. I hope they're training. But I'm older than probably the oldest person on the team. So I know what I got to do to survive out there.
And this will be finishing on Sunday, May 26th, a little more than a month from now, in downtown Columbus. And what for you, like, you know, you've done it before with CrossFit. What are some of the biggest challenges? I mean, you talked about a little bit about the sleep and the heat, and there's hills, obviously, going over, you know, this part of Georgia. What are some things that you found that maybe you can tell your teammates about that maybe haven't done it before?
The heat. I don't know. Some people, literally, I know someone who used to wait to the hottest part of the day to start running. Me, I did not like that at all. But I learned to wear a visor just to kind of keep the sun off my head. But other than that, do not train on a treadmill. You're not going to get anything out of that. And then, I mean, right now I found a trail that I'm running on, like a bike path that's flat. So then I said, hey, I got to get out here and start doing hills. That first run with hills, I was like, this is what, it's a lot different when hills are involved.
And, you know, you're talking about being one of the maybe older members, if not the oldest member of the team. What is it for you as somebody who's been on the force more than, 20 years as a sergeant? What do you hope? I mean, do you hope that, like, you going out there and being a part of this team and running all these miles, I mean, you guys will each do about 30 or 5 miles or so. Do you hope that that maybe sends a message or shows something to some of the younger guys that are maybe new to the force or maybe younger guys on your team?
Yeah, I'll let them know because if I'm faster than them, they're going to know it. So, but it is divided up into two vans. So we won't see each other all the time. But like I said, I just hope that, like I said, I'm sure we'll get together, just like, I don't know if you know about the torch run coming up at the police department.
Yeah.
So hopefully most of us will show up for that. And that's about approximately 5 miles. So,
and that's for the Special Olympics, right?
Correct. Yes.
Yeah. And that's, that's got some hills and some heat.
Yes.
Upper River.
Yes. People didn't know, but Second Avenue is a long slant. People don't know that when they start running it. And then, the big hill kind of towards Manchester Upper River Road. That's another bigger hill, but that's 5 miles. And so that's a good, I mean, you can do that, but then you just got to know that you're going to rest in a little bit and then start running again.
And so with this, the logistics of it, some people think, okay, running across Georgia, that seems like a crazy thing to do, almost 300 miles and, you're each kind of taking segments of it. How does that work from your standpoint, doing it before and maybe how you guys are going to do it? Is it like you drop off one runner and then the van shows up at the end of the next run? Or?
I've seen other people do it differently where the van will actually follow someone. I'm just going to tell you, go meet me at, just pick me up. I don't need anybody to follow me and I'll be out there. But literally I know in 2018, there was a group of high school kids that did it. And of course the parents were like, no, we're going to be behind them because you're running in the middle of the night in the middle of nowhere. So I know that they followed them and they were close on there. So they had their flashers on. But literally I remember running that night and I remember not seeing any cars because we're in the middle of nowhere in Georgia.
Wow. And in terms of, you've got a knee brace on, we were just talking about. You have is it a torn ACL?
Yes, correct.
So, and you've had this for about 4 years. So how do you, I know obviously if you're like a college or pro athlete, you're going to get surgery done and be out for a while. But for you, how are you able, is it hurt when you're, or maybe not when you're running straight? Or?
No, I mean, I wouldn't try to do, like I said, I wouldn't try to play basketball or racquetball, but I can run straight. And like I said, it doesn't swell up. And I did get an MRI and they looked at it and said, yeah, it's torn. And they said, are you in pain? Does it swell? And I said, no. And he said, no, I'm not going to do surgery. So.
Right. And it doesn't prevent you from doing anything in terms of police officer duties?
No.
Yeah, that's great. And you're still able to do, you do CrossFit cardio, and you started that, I guess, about 2017, you told me. So what made you transition to that versus like maybe a normal gym or running or whatever else?
I just had a friend at the police department. He said, hey, come try this out. You'll be good at it. And so I was like, well, I don't know about that because I don't like about all these big weights. And when those people are in there, they're doing, I said, these legs are for running. They're not for weights. And I still say that 7 years later. But I mean, I got hooked. I mean, I love it. Go there. And it's a camaraderie. And there are a lot of military, active military and retired military. Even the guy who owned it at one time, we actually served on Kelly Hill at the same time back in 1998.
Yeah. And kind of going to that, with Army, you were in from 1997 to 2001. Did you serve here at Fort Benning?
All 4 years.
All
yes.
4 years. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, tell me about what did you learn? Because this was, you had just graduated a year prior, at high school. So you were probably 19 years old. And so, what did you learn about fitness? Maybe that you didn't already, you were somebody who played several sports, like we mentioned, but did that teach you a different kind of fitness in terms of like a routine that you maybe carried forward to even now?
So I always can relate to, it's a lot of body weight movements, which I'm still good at, but those weights, but out there, yeah, everything back then, I think things have changed now, but when we were doing PT, it was just running, push-ups, sit-ups, and I mean, basically, that's all we really did. And so I got into the running, and the funny part was, because we were field artillery, so I mean, we're not known for being the most fittest people or whatever, and we had a first sergeant who came from the Ranger Battalion. And I think he was embarrassed of our PT, what we would do or whatever. So he literally would come in an hour before, do his own PT, and then he would do the PT with the field artillery. So on Fridays was the first sergeant run. And I was carrying the guide on, and his motto was, if you guys can, whoever can keep up with me, you have the rest of the day off. So that was some good motivation.
Wow. And so you were a guide on carrier. Tell me about what that, for layman's terms, for the folks at home.
Just our unit was 110, and so it was the guide on, big pole with the flag, and I would carry it in front of it. So the first sergeant would be here, then I would be right behind him, and then everybody would fall in behind us, and they would run behind us or whatever. But it was just, you would see, like, you'd pass other people, other units, and every unit would have their whatever unit they were, their guide.
Pretty much your way to send them. You were an advertisement for what unit you were with.
Yes, and then that was, like I said, then there would be brigade meetings or whatever, and then everybody would be there. There was, like, we were HHB 110, and then there was Alpha, Bravo, and Charlie. So then even, like, I don't know, maybe once a month, everybody would get together, and then there was bigger runs, and then the higher ranking people would even lead those runs. So, I mean, there was some, and I remember you would want to run your guide on around everybody, but like I said, we would get it, and I mean, there was over 1,000 people at a time running.
Yeah. And, you know, you were in the military more than 20 years ago. Anything, you know, were there tools that you took with you mentally and physically that have helped you be, you know, the man you are and you know, the police officer you are today?
I mean, the motto still is always there, hurry up and wait. Just always, I'm always like to be early, but then I'm ready to get off early too. But like I said, it's just, yeah. I mean, that is the biggest thing, is just showing up on time, and you get, and people laugh about it. And I still work with some people that were still on Kelly Hill when I was, and that's just I don't think it will ever change. Probably the military, hurry up and wait, and you're going to be there on time. You're going to be there early, and then what are we doing? We're sitting. You're here on time, and now wait.
And you still, I mean, yeah, you were telling me off mic that you still get up very early for work, and even on your off days, it's just what you're used to, right?
Yeah. So I've been through different shifts. I worked at different places in the police department. Luckily, knock on wood, that I've always been on a day shift. There are people that work evenings, and I don't know what I would do if I was on that, because I mean, I like to go to bed early too, so I'm just used to waking up early. But yeah, there's people, they used to be rotational, but then I was up on the third floor, which is detectives. So I was in detectives when there was mandatory rotating things. I just missed it by luck. So.
And what do you like or maybe dislike? What are, you know, pros and cons of being a police officer? Because a lot of people, it's a very dangerous job. It's risky. And I know, you know, family members, you know, spouses talk about how, you know, you never know what's going to happen. You know, will my loved one come home? And some of the things that you guys go through that, you know, maybe you don't see on TV. What are some of the things that you know, for you are the pros and cons of what you do for a living?
The pros, I mean, I do get thanked a lot. And literally the other day I went through a drive-through, and the person in front of me, they paid for it. So there are people, there's a lot of people say, oh, people don't like the police, but I'm seeing more and more people, literally they'll honk the horn, give me the thumbs up while we're just driving. So it makes you feel good, because you always want to say, oh, everybody hates the police, all they want to just out there and give you tickets, or they just want to take people to jail. But I mean, there are people out there that they do appreciate what we do. So.
Now, will you be, you guys, I mean, in terms of, like, I don't know if you're carrying a flag, but will you be kind of representing police and the Columbus Force when you're running across Georgia? Will y'all have certain shirts on? I'm certain you won't have your uniforms on, but you're certain, like, were you kind of outwardly expressing, like, hey, we're police officers?
We do have a team shirt. It says "Got One Running," which is like a lot of things when you get on the radio. So I got one running, you're chasing somebody.
And that's the name of your team, right?
Correct, yeah. Yes. So that will say it, but I mean, I'm not going to be wearing the same shirt the whole time. So, but yeah, towards the end, then everybody will wear the shirt, and across the finish line to get the picture, we'll all be wearing that shirt.
Yeah.
So my road guard vest will say police. That's what I wore the other time. So.
Now, so "Got One Running" is a kind of a signal when you're chasing a suspect?
Yeah, so like if you're out on a traffic stop, and then you'll see someone starts running, I got one running, and that's the term that a lot of people just
say. So maybe you'll say that to the other van, and, you know, got one running.
Yes.
He's gone.
Hopefully they're still
you're
running.
Not chasing him, yes. But you're passing him, perhaps. You know, you were telling me, you know, before our interview about how Your daughter ran cross country in Harris County in high school, and you guys have done a bunch of races together, and you and your wife hiked. In fact, you guys just did 16 miles the other day on Pine Mountain Trail, which is not easy. So what does that mean to you to have that legacy, you know, like of kind of passing on that love, health, and fitness to like your daughter and being able to do stuff with your family that's active?
That's what I tell all, even younger parents these days. There's so much, and just do something with your child. Just be involved in something. I mean, literally, I think when I was growing up, that's all it was football, basketball, and baseball. There was, but there's so many different things with karate, jiu-jitsu, and just music stuff. I mean, it doesn't have to be sports or anything, but as long as they're involved in something, and go and watch them. And like I said, I would go and watch my daughter with cross country, and some people, isn't that boring? Well, just show up there and cheer them on. So
yeah. Does your wife think you're crazy for doing this run across Georgia thing again?
Yeah, that's what she said. I thought you were done with that or whatever, and they kept on asking me. And I remember the first time when I said, no, I'm not doing it. I'm done. And then they kept on doing it. And then but eventually I said, well, yeah, because I kind of got out of my running. It was slowing down because with these 12-hour shifts I'm working now is kind of cutting into my running time. So kind of to myself, I was like, well, I have been slacking off my running. This will get me back motivated and start running more and more.
You have to train somewhat for it.
Oh, yes.
It's like the back-to-backs, you know, and the lack of sleep or lack of food, that kind of thing. And so is it competitive on the eight-man team in terms of like, will there be like everybody will size each other up in terms of how fast, or will there be some trash talking?
I think everybody's there just for literally. Well, I know like when I did it with the CrossFit Sacrifice team, there was two different teams on Sacrifice. So we were definitely competing against each other. But what I tell people running, I mean, I'm just competing against myself. I know what I need to do, and I'm just trying to stay my pace or do what I got to do. So that's the good thing about running, because I mean, I've seen people that look like, oh, that person's probably going to win this race, and they're not good at all. And then I literally have a story where there was a guy, I thought he was just a spectator. He literally had khaki shorts on and a windbreaker. And after mile two, he flew past me. And I mean, he was in his 60s. And I mean,
And you know, I think you have a story about from like 15 years ago, what kind of spurred you on to running was a family member. Tell me about, you know, because I mean, honestly, the majority of people don't like running, and they running is like punishment for their sport. Like I grew up playing basketball and tennis, and so you know, if you didn't give effort or you had some attitude, you went and ran. Or suicides on the basketball court. So tell me about what kind of started you really kind of into that running races.
So my sister called me up one day. My sister didn't play any sports in high school. And she said, yeah, I'm doing the DC 10 miler. And I laughed, and she was like, no, I'm doing it. And I said, when did you start running? She's like, oh, I kind of got in. And my dad was a huge runner. He never really got us into it, but he's run, I don't know, like 20 marathons. And so he was really big into it, but he never really pushed it on to us, and especially my sister. And when she told me, I guess I was embarrassed, and I was just like, man, I could never do that. And then I just started get into it until that day. And then literally when I decided to do a full marathon, it was for my dad's 70th birthday.
Wow. And so what was that like in terms of like going from like not really being a runner to, you know, running 13 miles and then 26 miles? I imagine that. I mean, it's a pretty good leap.
Oh, yeah. I remember even with my daughter the first time, I was like, let me see how I run. And she did 1 mile. And I was like, hey, that was good. And I was like, okay. And she's like, oh, I'm done. And she didn't want to take a step after that. And so that was like me when I started doing a 5K. And I was like, man, I would have to turn around and do it again to do a 10K. And I got my first 10K out of the way. And then finally, I was like, well, I'm going to do this half marathon. And that's when I said, I could never turn around and do this again and do a full. And I did one full marathon, and that was a check mark. And I had what my pace was going to be, and I beat that, and I was happy, and never want to do one again.
Now, as we record this earlier this morning, the Boston Marathon happened. It was on TV. So no marathons in your future at all?
Nope. I did one, and I was happy with it. I beat my time that I wanted to get, and it was just. Yeah, that's a lot. Because there's a lot of training that goes involved. And at least for me, I got to train. And I'm, like I said, I remember going on rookiemarathonrunner.com or something and printing out that schedule. And I literally stuck to that schedule. And I mean, and it got me through it. It was a good schedule, and I liked it. And so yeah. I stuck with it. And
And you were saying that you used to run more races, especially with your daughter, not as many 5Ks, and y'all would do like the Heatwave 5-miler. What was that like, her growing up, whether she was 16 or 20 or whatever, and running these races and kind of running either in front of her, behind her, whatever? What was that like, as kind of that dad-daughter bonding?
At first, when I did try to get her into running, she was actually really big into ballroom dancing. And I literally would see her partner kind of like huffing and puffing out there, and I was like, you guys need to run. And so then I got her into running, and I think she noticed that it was helping her dancing, because, I mean, they're out there for a long time going at it. So when she started doing it or whatever, and then we started doing these races, and then it was at times that she would want to run with me, and then there's other times we literally would go to the trail in Hamilton. She said, okay, you go that way and I'll go this way, and she didn't. And but there was one time that she had to run by a cemetery, and she said, okay, you can run with me, and then we just run together. And we've done several races. We did her first half marathon we did together, Soldiers half marathon we did together. And but yeah, and then there was other times that, but like I said, officially on the record, she's never beaten me in a race.
Oh, okay. So that's a challenge.
Yes.
Well, mm-hmm. she's still 23, so I'm sure she still can go and run pretty well.
Oh, yeah. She just did the Red Nose. Like I said, Big Dogs has a really great running program that they put on a lot of these races here in Columbus. And I mean, there's a lot of people that are lucky that Big Dog is here that do all that stuff. And every year they put on a free half marathon, because some people don't know it, but it costs money to do these races.
Yeah.
And some people, like, you pay money to run? And I guess it does sound silly, but yeah, because you have to pay for different things, close down streets and all that. But Big Dog does put on a half marathon every single, the first Saturday of the new year.
Yeah. And, with you guys, with you running some races here and there, and also doing this run across Georgia as an officer team, I mean, do you hope, I'm sure maybe you don't like put it down people's throat, but like, do you hope that maybe fellow officers, young, old, whatever size they are, that they see you guys and maybe, you're living by example, trying to stay fit, and maybe that, who knows, it could inspire one of your fellow officers to start running?
Yeah, I try to motivate people, and like I said, I'm a big proponent on, like I said, when I did get serious, more serious into working out and change my diet, really look into that. And I see these officers, and whenever I see people with soda, I get on to them. I said, just look at it. Just look at how much sugar is in there. You know how far you'd have to run? Well, I'm not going to run. And I'd really get on to people, these people that drink the soda drinks, and I'm just like, oh my goodness, look what's in there. And
yeah, try some water. And so, but you enjoy a good donut every now and then, I guess.
I stay away from sugar.
Oh, you stay away from sugar.
My mom, so
that's because, yeah, you look, I mean, you're pretty fit and skinny, so no sugar. Well, I mean, you don't even like, kind of give yourself a cheat day on that?
No, I'm just not. I guess my mom retired from Hershey, and so I used to have all the candy I wanted, and so I guess it's just, every once in a while, my daughter will still buy me, because she knows the Reese's peanut butter, and she'll put them in the freezer, so those are good. But I mean, literally, I'm not a big, I don't have a sweet tooth, I guess you can put it that
more
way.
More of a meat and potatoes guy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there you go. I know that you guys, obviously, attend church, and did y'all live in Pine Mountain?
Hamilton.
Hamilton. So tell me about, your faith in terms of, because, I mean, obviously we talked about your job being, can be dangerous, and, you're out there on the streets and, who knows what you're going to encounter. So how does your faith relate to, like, kind of being able to feel like you're protected in those instances?
You can see some people, they don't know that I'm a police officer, and then others do. So they always say that they're praying for you, because they know the things that we see other people don't see. And I know Father Madden, he was just, he was in the military also, and he was just, he kind of knew that, he's like, I know that you see some things that not the normal person will see, and you can see it week after week, and it's just not pretty things or whatever. So some people do understand it, and then and like other people, they just appreciate it, and like they just wave to you, or they just thank you for your service.
Yeah. I know Chaplain, former Chaplain of the Columbus Police Department, Roy Asasi. Yeah, Roy is a good runner, and he's working up kind of in more in the Atlanta area now. And does it mean a lot to be able to maybe have other officers that you can talk to about your faith and that kind of thing? Or?
It is, because he's very religious, and I would talk to him. But he was one of the people I looked up to, because when I was like, how old are you? And how good shape he was in, I was like, that is impressive. And so, but he was the person when I said that I know that someone that waits to the hottest part of the day to run, that was him. But yeah, I would talk to him. And I mean, he was one of the, I could say, also motivated me, because I was like, because he was up there in age, because he was probably at least maybe say 20 years older than me. And I mean, he was in great shape. And so,
yeah. now the shoe's on the other foot. You're the one motivating the younger
guys. Trying to,
yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Well, you're not old yet. I mean, you still got a little bit more time at the police force, and then for Run Across Georgia, which will be happening a little more than a month from now, but before that and right now, people can help out with fundraising because it benefits Mercy Med of Columbus, which is a local clinic that helps those that are not insured and helping those that are in need, get that medical care they need, and then also House of Heroes, which they pretty much provide free refurbishments of houses for military widows and military families and public safety veterans as well. And they do, dozens of projects every year. So what does that mean, as you're running or as maybe the next month raising money to be able to kind of give back to these causes while you're, training and running?
Like I said, we do go for the sponsorships and just know we're not out here just doing it for ourselves. We're trying to raise money for it's a great cause. And like I said, even the local one with Mercy Med. I remember being at a grocery store one time and some guy was just reading. I was wearing one of my workout shirts and it had Mercy Med on the back, the sponsorship. And he's like, "What is that?" And literally the cashier who was checking me out, she said, "Oh, that is the," and helped her sister out tremendously. So she explained it better than I could to the guy behind me that was asking me what it is. So that makes you feel good that it is. I mean, people that you don't know are literally saying it is such a great cause and it helped someone out that I didn't know, but it did. It really helped them out.
And as somebody who's an Army veteran yourself and in House of Heroes helping these families that, whether it be for yard work or painting or roofing issues with their house, as somebody who comes from a military background, what does that mean to you to be able to, this organization helps folks in our backyard?
I mean, because, like in the military, some people just, like I said, I just did my 4 years and I got out and wanted my college money and okay, bye. But other people did it longer, went to war. And now there's something that they can't do. Something was taken away from them. So, like I said, you don't know. Some people went to the military and they might have had a desk job the whole time. And then there's other people out there or pounding on the ground. And so you don't know what they were doing, but everybody goes through some hard times. And sometimes maybe they didn't get what they should have when they retired or whatever, need extra help or whatever. So at least this program is definitely going straight to them, helping them out.
Yeah, well, hopefully you can get in some miles and some extra sleep over the next month before Run Across Georgia so I can prepare for that. So, Dan Lyon, thank you so much for your time, and I'll let you enjoy the rest of your day off.
Okay.
Appreciate Dan stopping by here on his day off from the Columbus Police Department here to WTVM to talk with us as he and his team of fellow officers trains to run across Georgia. And two people that I talked to recently, friends of mine that I run with here and there, that did the solo run across Georgia, not as a team relay, but doing it all by themselves with a little support from folks who gave them some food and drink and maybe a place to lay down in a truck bed. So you're going to hear a little bit of my conversation I had back in 2022 with Sasha Hathaway, who is a single mom who has who ran that whole 277 miles across Georgia solo. She also used to work at our local running store and has some advice on running gear as well on that episode, number 111, episode 111 of the Run the Race podcast. Also, you're going to hear a little bit from Kevin Shee, my conversation with him from last year, about redemption, how he had to come back and do Run Across Georgia after failing at it the year prior, and how Rice Krispie Treats helped this ultra runner get through that Herculean effort of running so many miles in less than a week. So here's Sasha and Kevin.
So no hotels. We just slept in the back of the Jeep, got a cushion back there, and just took all my naps. And he would wait up at the next stop for me and just take his nap. So he felt refreshed for me when I got up there and did my first aid kit back there, switched out my socks, had to pop a couple blisters. And that was my home for the last 4.5 days.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, and do you, are you doing like running or, and people hear 15, 16 minute mile pace. Is there a lot of walking involved or kind of fast walking?
Oh yeah. That was came into training too. Walking is harder than running to me. It's hard to walk, especially when you're hurt. You're like, you might as well run. It just feels better to run at that point. So yeah, I did walk a lot of the, especially in the daytime. It's, the hills are brutal. So you just walk up the hills, run down them. But yeah, definitely walked.
And people that don't know about Run Across Georgia, perhaps, or they're hearing you describe this, I mean, you are, you know, going from Tybee Island to Columbus, you're on back roads, you're on kind of semi-highways, and you're running towards traffic on the road. Nothing's blocked off. Police don't block anything off, and you're each checkpoint's every 4 to 7 miles. So were you running, were you trying to, like, avoid the sun, or were you kind of like, okay, I'm going to run when I can when I feel good enough to. You
know? Yeah, no, I didn't avoid any sun. I was just out there. Yeah, you just have to get as many miles as you can, because a lot of people like just rest in the daytime and run through the night. For me, when it gets nighttime, I'm exhausted. I feel like it's just like you're used to going to bed at night, so it just makes you tired automatically. So when I had the chance, I just kept going. If I felt awake and ready, I was going daytime or nighttime, because the nighttime, I knew I was gonna just sleep all night, and I was gonna be ending up just like last year, is not being able to get back. So
yeah, lessons learned. But the heat, I mean, you know, it's been worse Memorial Day weekends before around here. It's been, you know, 90s and felt like 100. This was around, I think the highs hit about 87 degrees, and the humidity wasn't horrific. I mean, it was bad enough, but it wasn't in the 90s. So, but dealing with that heat, I mean, there's not a lot of shade when you're running across Georgia. So how did you and your body handle that? I mean, did you feel like that you were prepared for that?
Yeah, I think I do better running in the heat. A lot of people cannot stand running in this heat. I like running in the heat way better than cold. So I was fine. I had a sun hat and all that stuff, but at some point I felt like my head was swollen. I felt like everything was swollen. So I didn't even put any hats on or anything. So I did get a sunburn, and I started peeling probably a week after the race, because I definitely got burnt out there.
Wow. And, you know, we talked about your boot being on now, and the 3 days in, so a little more than halfway done, perhaps, you had the stress fracture that maybe you, at that point, you didn't know that, okay, this was an actual injury. So did you feel something pop? Did you feel like, okay, man, this feels different than it did day one, you know?
Yeah, I didn't feel it pop. I just was running down a hill trying to stop myself from going too fast, and I could feel like an ache in the top of my foot. That I started to limp on for just a little bit, and then it would go away, and then it'd come back some other time. And I think my adrenaline at the end kicked in, where I didn't feel any pain at all in any of my body. I felt it, obviously. When the race was over, I felt everything that I probably should have stopped on. But
you're finally still, you're not moving anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
So in terms of a lesson for folks that are listening, you know, how did you do that in terms of the pain you're going through, the blisters and this potential stress fracture, and just overall your body's probably, your shoulders, everything's kind of hurting. How do you push through that pain? Is that more of a mental or a physical thing?
It's mental. It's all mental. You're gonna hurt. You're gonna be in pain. Everything's gonna hurt. So I mean, you just have to be prepared to sign up for a race that, you know, you're not gonna be A-okay when you get back. You're gonna, you know, have something going on.
Did you have any moments like day four or day five where you were like, I just don't think I can finish this. I don't think that, or were you kind of just, I'm going to do it if I have to crawl across the finish line? Or
yeah, day three, I think I got really dehydrated, and I thought, oh my gosh, this is probably the only day that I'm pushing to, like, so I don't have to run tons of miles on the last day. So I thought, I think this is it. I don't think I'm feeling too well. And of course I've called people. I'm like, hey, I'm closer. You guys should come and crew me. And they got there, and I thought, oh, I don't think I'm going to make it, you guys. And they're like, no, just rest, put your feet up. And so finally, I think I walked 3 miles with Cheyenne Cherry, and we did not. She was like, you don't remember any of it. And I said, I don't remember any of it. I was like, you know, like, I was hurting. So I was like, I don't remember it. Finally, I kind of like kicked out of it, and I, you know, was like, okay, let's keep going. And I was, every time I woke up, I'm like, how far is everyone ahead of me? You know, and they're like, they never passed you. And I was like, oh, like, you know, so every time it felt, you know, weird being like, how far, you know, are the, you know, is the people that I'm going, you know, the soloists, like, how far are they? You never want them too far, you know, ahead of you. Like, just want to keep up just to make sure you're on track. You know, it's not a competition for me to, like, who gets back first. It was just like, I don't want to be like, oh, you know, way behind. So
for you, what do you hope, you know your kids, but other people as well, get out of your experience and the fact that you, as a single mom, as a woman in her late 20s, you know, able to do something like this and achieve it? You know, you had support of others, but listen, you did all those miles.
Yeah, like I said, it's just a mindset thing. Anybody can run this race. As long as you know, you think you can do it, you can do it. And, you know, just train for it, and it, anybody can do this race.
Yeah.
Anybody.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But you gotta train for it properly.
Yeah, train for it. I mean, just don't like, I can do it, and then meet us out, you know, and go out there. You definitely have to train for it. Yeah. And there's, you know, we've got great runners to help you, you know, get to that point. But, yeah, anybody can. As long as you think you can run across Georgia, you can run across Georgia.
It's harder on the crew.
Yeah.
A lot of times than it is the runner, because all I've got to do is eat, sleep, and move. They've got to figure out, okay, you know, logistics, where can we meet him? Do we have enough food? Do we need to get drinks?
Do we need to motivate him?
Do we need to motivate him? And so we would walk the uphills and run the downhills. And it was the same thing. Let's run to the bridge, or let's run to that sign. And so we did that until about, I think I had 2 miles before I got to the highway 280. And I was like, yeah, I think I'm done running for a while. And then we hit 280, and there's no shoulder. It's the rumble strips all the way down. It's hard to run on it.
And, you know, your equipment is also important, too. Obviously, you know, you don't need, like, a lot of clothes on when you're running, you know, when it's, 70 to 80 degrees out there. But the shoes are a big deal. But people don't think about that sometimes. They think, oh, well, you just have a nice pair of shoes and it'll last you the whole way. But there's kind of an art to that, because I think that Kina, who is the race director and your coach, and is there like a little where they have to like put a, because I've seen some people have literally cut the front of their shoes off, but do you have like a, was there like a technique where it, you have to open the shoes up because your feet are swelling?
My feet were blistering. So earlier, like a day earlier, we had to do surgery on my blisters in the parking lot of a Walmart. So Jennifer, I was like, have you ever done this before? And she's like, not really. I was like, well, I cannot even feel you touching the blister. So she popped them, drained them, we wrapped it up.
No pain
whatsoever. And got to Yoder's, I woke up, and Kina's like, can I cut your shoe? And I've done that in the past for trail races because my feet would swell. And I'm like, yeah, go ahead, you know, cut the shoe. And so she cut a lot of people cut the toes out. She just cut the side because it was my pinky toe. So she cut the side and released some of the pressure from it. Drained all my blisters at that point in time, and off I went. Never felt any blisters or anything until I got to the finish line and took my shoes off and had a huge blood blister on my little toe. But
wow,
yeah, and that's one of the things. As you run over time, you learn all the tricks of the trade. You know, loosening your lace, taking the laces out of your shoe. I've done that before, because my feet were so swollen that I couldn't really even get them in the shoe.
Yeah. I saw you at the end when you took off at the finish line. You took off your shoes, and you had this big, they said it looked like this big lifesaver at the top of one of your toes, like this big, like a red caterpillar. Is it very painful when you're out there just walking, running?
I could feel I could feel it rubbing. But I like you could touch it. I could not feel when she finally popped it and drained it. I did not feel the needle going in or anything like that.
Wow!
And they had already told me, they're like, your toenail has come off, but the skin on the toe, you know, they're like, the blister's holding it.
Yeah.
In spot.
Wow, it's a protective mechanism, I guess. Yeah. All right. So like fast forward now. Okay, you know, this was 2 years after your first attempt, which was, like you said, failing big. You made it, you know, 35 miles, but you know, just about, you know, 15% of the race. Now you are coming down Broadway, downtown Columbus, you know, with your crew with you that's helped you out along the course of those 4 or 5 days, about to cross the finish line. What were the emotions for you?
It was, I felt relief.
Right.
You know, I mean, I'm like, I've done it. Even when I was on a team, I had points to where, like, I didn't sleep very well when I was on a team, or I didn't eat a whole lot, because earlier in my running, I would not eat because I was afraid, oh, I'll have stomach issues. So leading up to this year, I was like, I'm going to eat 10 minutes before I go run. We'll see how it works. And so I realized, you know, you can eat. You got to eat. You got to have something on your stomach. So I practiced that, but it was just a relief of, you know, making up for, you know, the failed attempt and wanting just to sit down and
just like no more moving.
Yeah, no more. I just want to sit down and eat something. But it was a weight off my shoulders.
Yeah, I bet, and a huge accomplishment. Those, you know, those friends or family or coach or whoever it is that's with you, and they're kind of taking the journey with you, and they're helping you kind of meet that ultimate goal.
Well, I told Jennifer before we started, I said, when I cross finish line, that's us. We did it.
Yeah.
If I fail, it's all on me.
Yeah.
I said, it's me failing, not you didn't fail, I failed.
Yeah.
I was like, unless you run me over with the truck or something like that, I said, you know, nothing you did caused the failure.
Right. You're only helping me.
Right. And I told them, I was like, look, I said, this is 99% you guys and 1% me. I said, because you're keeping me going. You know, Blake and Lisa and James Adams came out and ran with me. Just having someone there, and I felt bad because a lot of times I wasn't talking or doing anything. I was just walking. I was just behind them. We would run. I just jog behind them, or, you know, I was just zoned out. And at one point I told Lisa, I'm like, I'm glad you're looking for traffic, because I'm not. I was like, I'm totally at this point in time, I'm checked out. I'm just moving. And,
yeah.
You know,
were you having hallucinations at some point, like 150 miles in? Or?
No, I didn't get lucky to have hallucinations. the one problem about being out there by yourself is you get a lot of time to think. And even if you're listening to music, your mind wanders. And especially if you're out on a country road.
And pitch black at some point.
Pitch black with just a headlamp. I couldn't tell you where. I had no idea where I was. I couldn't have told you where I was in the state of Georgia at that time. And you're just walking along or running along.
It's almost like a your out of body experience.
Right. And you solve all your problems by doing that. And one point, Blake and I were coming out of Hawkinsville, and there are no streetlights. And so all you've got your headlamps. And our headlamps started dying at that point in time until we could get new ones. But you just, it was cool. It was, you know, it was getting cold and everything, but you just see the stars. And so you're just walking along looking at the stars, seeing deer, and that really helped, because it take your mind off of, hey, my left foot really, really hurts, or I've still got 80-something miles to go.
Yeah. So. And, you know, looking back on it, is it something that, you know, that now that you've had kind of several weeks, a month to kind of digest it, anything, you know, that kind of stands out to you, but like, okay, that was really, you know, a lot tougher than I expected, or I'm glad to kind of check that off the bucket list?
I had more fun than I thought I would have. It, you know, you get to see George in a different, you get to see the world in a different way when you're running and walking for hours on end, and stuff you don't see if you're, you know, driving along or something like that. But it definitely hurt a lot more than I thought it would. It was a different kind. I thought my legs would hurt. My legs never hurt. My feet just hurt. But it got to a point where you're like, it's not hurting anymore. I mean, it hurts, but it's not getting any worse.
And I mentioned about Sasha's episode. If you want to hear the full conversation with Kevin Sheed about his redemption story of run across Georgia and how he got a lot of help from his support team, that's episode 163 from last year, again, of the Run the Race podcast, which you can listen to on Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, and Apple Podcasts, that little purple microphone on your iPhone. And you can go on that app for Apple and scroll down after you find Run the Race. Just go down real quick and you can write a review, you know, a sentence or a paragraph or whatever, what you like or don't like about it. I'm not afraid of your honesty, and give us 5 stars. We'd love to keep doing this and providing this ministry, talking about faith and fitness. And speaking of ministry, Scotty Scheffler, the now 2 times Masters champion, only 27 years old, the number one golfer in the entire world. You know, he makes a lot of money and, you know, could talk about anything. But at the press conference after winning at Augusta National, his second green jacket, this master champ, was really outspoken about how his Christianity defines him rather than being a golfer. He says, you know, I'm a faithful guy. I believe in a creator. I believe in Jesus. And he said he's been given this platform to be able to show and talk about that. He said he's been called to do his best, to compete, and to glorify God. That's what we all are called to do, right? To compete at whatever we're doing in life, and to glorify God, and just do our best. And that's what it talks about in the Bible, you know, running the race of perseverance, finishing strong, going after Jesus, as it talks about in the verse in Hebrews. And of course, you know, he craves victory. He's very competitive. Scottie Scheffler is. He talked about being with his buddies and talking about how he really, really was focused on wanting to win. And his buddies told him that morning, one of the mornings of the playing the Masters, that, you know, his victory was secure on the cross, no matter what happened on the golf course, and a pretty special feeling. So good for him to be able to kind of be outspoken about his faith, and really appreciate that, because he's got a big platform right now as the number one golfer in the entire world. As we do on all episodes, the previous 198, I think hopefully all of them, we're going to end now in prayer. Dear God, just thank you for this opportunity to be able to use our bodies to do big things, like run across Georgia, work together as a team doing things, win golf tournaments. And Lord God, that we can look to you for our strength, that we can use the platform that you have given us to be able to glorify you and lift you up and give you the credit. And Lord God, we just thank you for the ability to do these things. We pray as we are in this season of spring that you will keep us all safe and our families healthy. And Lord God, we just look to you and praise you, even post-Easter, that we remember what you did on the cross and rising again the third day. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, thank you guys so much again for listening to the Run the Race podcast. And we mentioned that law enforcement torch run for Special Olympics that he mentioned Dan Lyon mentioned in our conversation. That's going to be happening, at least in Columbus, Georgia, Thursday, May 9th. They usually run about 5 miles or so through Columbus, Georgia. And it's all to raise money and benefit Special Olympics. In fact, there's about 110,000 members of law enforcement that have done this all around the world at thousands of events in support of these athletes, people with intellectual disabilities, to improve their lives. And so this is a way that you can give back and be a part of something active, but also a really good cause, just like those causes we talked about of House of Heroes and Mercy Med, which we've talked to those leaders on previous episodes of Run the Race as well. So make sure to check that out. So we'll see you next time, guys.